glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. And now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come into this hour. So, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder, and others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, the voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And he said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to get a little bit closer to you because I want to show you something. Remember, I don't think it was last week, but the week before that, we talked a bit about body language and how much of our communication depends on not so much voice, but on our bodies. So I'm going to lay down some body language to you right now. You've seen this, right? What is this? It's a heart, right? So if I come to you and say, I, you, means I love you. This has become a really popular form of body language. So I've seen Taylor Swift do it. I've seen NFL football players do it after they score a touchdown. My grandkids do it. This has become a very popular symbol. Very recently, when we had our youth group together, we did it right around the Valentine's Day holiday. What's the symbol for Valentine's Day? It's the heart, right? So many of the songs we hear involve the heart. I did a little bit of research for you, and I found out what the top 10 songs were that include heart in the title. We'll just do the first five. And some of these are a bit foreign to me, which is a reflection of my era and my age. Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. I know that one, but that was voted number one. The number one song that involves the word heart by Bonnie Tyler. Then Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes, good song. Heart of Glass by Blondie. Listen to Your Heart, Roxette. Heartbreaker by Pat Benatar. Further down on the list, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. As I read this, I thought to myself, what about I Left My Heart in San Francisco? Tony Bennett, come on! Again, a reflection of my age. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis wasn't in the top five. Are you kidding me? Elvis? Or Your Cheatin' Heart by Hank Williams. Big song. I'm surprised those weren't up a little bit higher. But the point is, we are inundated by images of hearts, whether we're doing this, or whether we're celebrating Valentine's Day, or where we're listening to the radio, we find this heart matter coming up a lot. And it's another way that we describe what's at the core of an issue. So I teach a class over at Husson in communications, and one of my students is failing the class. And so I made an appointment with his advisor, and we were sitting, and the advisor said to me over a spectacle, so Steve, tell me about the heart of the matter here. Well, the heart of the matter is he's not attended any classes, and he hasn't done any homework at all. That's at the heart of the matter. So when we ask ourselves, what's at the heart of the matter here? What we're really asking is, what's the core issue? What's of most importance? And we see issues of the heart addressed in Scripture today. The first two readings are really obvious. The third one is not quite as obvious. So who's this Jeremiah guy? So Jeremiah is thought to be a prophet right around 600 BC, before the time of Christ. And Jeremiah is a prophet, and he is known as the weeping prophet. He is lamenting. He is greatly discouraged. And the reason he is weeping is because he sees the people around him. He sees society around him, and it's kind of gone off the rails. They were in covenant relationship with God. They were, as a nation, in faithful relationship with God. They were loving each other. They were offering each other grace. But instead, human beings being who human beings are, they've diverted their attention. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping stuff instead. And as a result of that, we find a nation really coming off the rails. And he mentions something in that very opening verse that's important for us to embrace. He says, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Well, there's going to be a new covenant. There must have been an old covenant. And as Jeff mentioned, the old covenant was the Mosaic Law. When we share the sacrament of communion, we talk about the cup of the new covenant. And so Jeremiah is looking to a time when there will be a new covenant. Notice where it's going to be written. Right? Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. So the law is going to become known to us in a whole new way. It was the Mosaic Law, but God speaking through the prophet is saying, this is going to be different. And we understand in our Christian theology that God has become known to us by becoming flesh and walking among us. And that involves intimate relationship. And that's a matter of the heart. It's no longer about written law or the Mosaic Law. It's about having personal, intimate relationship with the new covenant. Does that make sense? If we could turn down the microphone just a little bit, that would be great. A little bit too echoey. And so we see it written here in Jeremiah. It's a matter of heart. The passage from Psalm is a little more obvious for us. So here's David. And David has his own covenant with God, right? David has been anointed to be a king. And so in that, we find a covenant relationship. Use me for your purposes, God. And in many ways, David is used as a wonderful, mighty instrument for God's purposes, holy and great. But David, again, being a man, boy, he messes up a lot too, much like me and perhaps much like you, being part of the human condition. And it's believed that David writes these words after his unfaithfulness with Bathsheba. And not only that, he's arranged to have her husband killed to cover up the whole misdeed. And his acquaintance comes to him and points out what he's doing. And all of a sudden, you can just sense that the world is crashing around David because he understands, how could I have done this? How could I have been so weak? I blew it in such a big way. And we find him broken. We find him much like Jeremiah. He's weeping here. And we find where he is in the opening of this psalm. Have mercy on God, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You sense a real contrite and broken spirit here. This is where David is. But I love what he requests later on in the psalm, in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Isn't it interesting that David doesn't say, create in me a clean liver, O God? Doesn't say that. Create in me a clean foot, O God. No. Create in me a clean heart. Because that's where we sense, where we have love and God's spirit within us. That's where everything good is. It's at the center of us. It's really at the heart of our matter, of who we are. And it's right there in our center where we need healing and we need cleansing. And that's what David is requesting here. Create in me a clean heart. That's the heart of the matter David is asking for here. And then we have these words from Jesus. It's not quite as obvious. So setting this up a little bit. So here's Jesus with his disciples. The people of Israel and the people he is acquainted with are likely familiar with the concept of Messiah and wondering if this Jesus is him. But then some foreigners are introduced, or Gentiles, and they would not likely be as familiar with this concept of Messiah or what Jesus has come to do and what some people are starting to believe Jesus might be. And so they bring these Gentiles who are kind of outside their faith to Jesus, and Jesus strikes up a conversation with them, but he says something kind of odd that must have been a head-scratching time for them. He says a couple of things that would cause them to wonder. So Jesus is with them, conversation. Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. What's that mean? Then he says, very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What's this guy talking about? Wheat, seeds falling to the ground, being glorified. Well, in hindsight, we have a pretty good understanding of what he's talking about. He is the seed. So we know in nature, if an apple falls from a tree, what's going to happen? It's going to rot away, but there's going to be seeds and a new tree will come up. Pretty soon we'll see some dandelions around here. Sign of spring, we like to see the dandelions. How are those dandelions made possible? Because a dandelion dies, distributes the seeds, and new dandelions come about. So this really does make sense. Something dies, the seeds fall to the ground, and new life comes out of those seeds. Well, in this case, theologically, we understand that meaning that Jesus is the one, the seed, that dies, resurrection, new life made available for us and for his followers. So now we kind of understand, and that's what it means to be glorified as well, that he is glorified through his resurrection. But what we find Jesus saying here is a matter of heart. It's right at the foundation. It's right at the core. It's the heart of the matter when it comes to our faith. And this is appropriate as we head toward Holy Week, when we think about his entry, we think about Maundy Thursday, the great commandment, we think about Good Friday and those events, and we think about Easter. Think about that kernel of wheat dying so that more fruit can be born. And just quickly, we find a pretty strong connection to what we were talking about last week. Remember our complete and full understanding of John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him. Yes, that's a head thing. That's an acknowledgement. Yes, I believe. But it's also a believing into Jesus, which means that his cause becomes your cause, that his priorities become your priorities. Now, let me think about that for my own life. If I want Jesus' priorities to become my priorities so that I can bear fruit, then the season of Lent is when I look at my life and I see over here, boy, I didn't treat that person with much grace. I judged that person instead of letting grace come through me to this person. I need to eliminate that. There's a seed. There's a seed that I need to fall from my life so that more fruit will be born. Or maybe over here in my life, I see, you know, you got some pride there. It's okay to have pride, be proud of yourself, but too much pride's not good. Because if I'm full of myself, then there's no room for God to work in me. So I recognize that and I say, no, that's a seed that I need to fall from my life so that other seeds will be planted and will bear fruit. And the fruit that we identified last week was love and joy and peace and forbearance, being gracious with one another. That's all at the heart of the matter. It's the heart of the matter when we think about the season of Lent. That's our core. That's our understanding of Lent. That's the work that we are to be about. So when it comes to hearts and the heart of the matter, there were some people back in 1914 that were really concerned about our hearts. They were getting down to the heart of the matter for our hearts. At that time, heart disease was rampant, and there wasn't much of an answer to that disease. So if you were diagnosed with heart disease, it was pretty much a death sentence at the time. And so doctors and social workers, and probably Bob Allen too, got together and started to wonder, how can we address this issue of heart disease? And so physicians and social workers in other cities, Philadelphia, Boston, Chicago, along with New York City, started to really pay attention to the research and medications and surgeries that can be applied to this terrible problem of heart disease. And by 1924, enough people came together to form the American Heart Association. And because of that formation, our lives have increased in quality. Our lives have increased in longevity because people identified the heart of the matter. we, as people of faith, are also called to identify the heart of the matter, which is expressed in our scripture readings this morning, which takes us to the heart of the matter of Lent. Again, following Jesus' example of allowing those things to fall away from us so that new life may be born in us and in those around us as well. So I invite you to join us for Holy Week as we consider what Palm Sunday is and what Maundy Thursday is, what Good Friday is, what Easter is, because all of that is really at our heart of the matter. Amen. Let's stand up and sing our second hymn. Joyful and thankful for those who join us each week online. We have about 45 homes that are with us, and some of them have communicated with us what's going on in their lives by way of joys or concerns. Fran and Ernie Savoy, prayers for the Savoy family for the death of their nephew, David Savoy. So praying for them. I did talk with Fran earlier this week, and her recovery from hip surgery seems to be going well. Tammy Mason, joy spending time with my Fairfield family. And also heard from Dale Brownie earlier this morning, had a great visit with him and Julie this past week. They are home, and he is recovering from his airplane accident, but really appreciates the support through the cards and the prayers that he has received from you all. So on behalf of Dale, thank you for supporting him in that way. He feels that it's been a real key in being able to recover so quickly. Do you folks have anything you'd like to share this morning by way of joys or concerns? Yes. Diane?
Yeah, I have a concern for Nancy Porter. Some of you know her. Some of them know her dog, Tinkerbell. Anyway, she fell and broke her hip yesterday, and she's in the hospital in surgery as we speak.
Okay.
So just prayers for her.
Thank you. So thank prayers you. For Nancy Porter. I've had the blessing of visiting her quite recently, so it's good to know that that's going on. Thank you. Yeah. I also wanted to lift the family of Jim Fernald from Brookings Smith, celebrated his life yesterday, so prayers for Jim's family as their journey goes forward. Are there any others? Yes. Yes, Michelle.
Sadly, my mother passed on Wednesday. She went peacefully and was very comfortable, and I just want to thank everyone for your support and prayers.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. It was a blessing for us to know her. Yeah.
lot of people don't know, but my Aunt Chris and my Uncle Mac were married in this church almost to the day 60 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And she lost Uncle Mac about a week ago.
Okay.
So pray for Aunt Chris and the family.
Sure.
He's no longer suffering. He had a long battle with the Alzheimer's and dementia.
Okay. Yeah.
So prayers for the whole family. Thank you.
Sure. Let him know we're thinking about him and the family, rather. Let them know, please.
Morning.
Morning.
Now, if I stood here and named all the joys in my life, we'd miss lunch. And Steve's going, oh, Bob, please, no. I've been on the Evangelism Committee, I believe I'll have to ask Sue White, maybe 9, 10 years. It's a joy. It's a blessing. The choir's a blessing, and they know it. Everybody that works on these committees, we appreciate all your help. If anybody would like to join one of these committees, I'm sure Steve would be glad to talk to you about it. I am going to be a great grandfather for the third time coming up in April. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's always a joy. When I'm doing a song with John, it's a joy. Whenever I meet any of the people that's been in here for years and years and years, and I've been here through a few pastors, it's a joy. I'm rambling, ain't I, Steve? I'll let you go, but it's a joy to serve on the committees, and we can use, always can use help. Bob Allen can tell you